You know that we love our on-demand listeners here at Lutheran Public Radio. Now, if you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. in 2008, please consider making a year-end gift to help support this worldwide outreach. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and mail it to LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. LPR Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as we approach the end of 2008. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, December the 2nd. So what's devotion in your life, Christian devotion? What does it involve? A lot of people have a very disciplined life of devotion. They sit down every morning or every evening and they do their devotions. But what does that mean? What is Christian devotion at its very heart? We're going to be talking about a daily study and a daily meditation upon God's Word, upon Scripture, for the next half hour of the program. Feel free to join us as well with questions or comments. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or you can email us right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Joining us to talk about a daily study of God's Word, Pastor Bror Erickson. He's pastor of First Lutheran Church in Tooele, Utah, and he's translator of a new devotional book titled To Live with Christ. Pastor Erickson, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you today, Todd.
It was very nice to have met you Breckenridge not too long ago. I was speaking at a pastor's conference there, and it was very nice to have met you in person.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure to have met you in person also.
A lot of people think, when they think Christian devotion, they think about sitting at the kitchen table with a hot cup of coffee, feeling warm emotions, thinking happy thoughts about God. What is genuine Christian devotion?
Well, you know, if we are going to take it from Bo Geertz, and it's Christian devotion is almost synonymous with Christian life. He doesn't see it as just one aspect of your Christian life, but it actually flows out of your baptism. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in you and on you through His Word. And, you know, he sees as the most central aspect of Christian devotion, regular attendance of divine service every Sunday and partaking in communion. And from that comes then reading God's Word at home, reading other works, theological works and so on. Stuff like what he put together in To Live with Christ.
So the foundation, the essential element of Christian devotion isn't, in fact, me alone at my kitchen table, but gathered together around God's Word and sacraments on a regular Sunday morning.
Definitely. The Christian life, to Bo Geertz, is a communal life. No one could be a Christian by themselves. Therefore, you know, you go to church, you commune with the others, and out of that, then, you know, you continue that life on throughout your week. He wrote a very interesting piece called Our Devotional Life that I've translated, and I don't have it published yet, but it's somewhere. He talks about, your Christian life having, you know, your regular life having signs of breathing and a heartbeat and so on. And he says, it's your Christian life also has these signs. You know, when you have this daily attendance at worship, or this, you know, weekly attendance at worship anyway, and your daily life of devotion, you have a healthy life. If these things start to lack in your Christian life, then he's not going to say you're dead necessarily, but he's going to say your life is starting to hurt. You're starting to lose the nourishment that you need.
Many of our listeners are familiar with Bo Geertz from this tremendous novel that he wrote of his time as a Swedish theologian bishop and pastor called Hammer of God. Tell us a little bit about this theologian and bishop, Bo Geertz.
Bo Geertz, he started out as an atheist. He was, he was baptized, obviously, everything, but cultural church life in Sweden, mostly, just traditional. And he regarded himself as an atheist most of his life. He was born into a doctor's family in Öland, Sweden, and grew up, obviously was being very educated in his youth, and considered himself to be an atheist. He went to school at Uppsala to become a doctor. And it was there that, even though he was an atheist, he was one of those moral atheists. And he started to realize that his morality had no basis. And students of theology grabbed a hold of him and started talking to him. And he became a Christian at the university, which is not typically what happens to most people. They usually go in Christians and end up becoming atheists. But with Bo Geertz, it worked differently, and we're all the more blessed for it in the church of the world here in time. He was a tremendous theologian. Early on, realized the need for confessions of faith, for the confession of faith, and really never forsook that. He'd studied the Bible daily and wrote prolifically. In the United States, we have the Hammer of God. A couple other people are familiar with his preaching from the whole Bible. And now we have To Live with Christ. We're poor in comparison to what the rest of the Lutheran world has, German-speaking, Swedish, Norwegian, Danish, and so on. He wrote over 600 titles. And it just tremendous theology throughout. The Hammer of God... it's almost autobiographical in many ways. You kind of see his development if you know anything about how he grew up in the church, how he developed theologically. You see that same development happening in the book. It's pretty curious.
It's interesting to think about the church of Geertz's time and place. It was hopelessly immired in the movement of pietism at the time, this highly emotionalistic, highly subjective, highly individualistic way of thinking of yourself as a Christian. Did he ever struggle with this himself?
Well, of course he did. It's a mark. In Sweden, you had pietism and you had liberalism. And there was no orthodox middle ground, it seemed. And Bo Geertz was able to take and really see the downfall of the pietism, the revivals that had taken place in Sweden and so on. And yet he didn't want, that whole don't throw out the baby with the bathwater thing. He saw that there was some good stuff in there too. So he wouldn't just, harp on pietism, but he would take what was good about pietism. And he would work on that with the people, and he would bring them around to a more orthodox position through their pietism, if you will.
You mentioned not throwing out the baby with the bathwater. It seems to me perhaps the devotional life of the Christian, which was paramount even over, as you mentioned before, the divine service on Sunday morning among pietistic Christians. They considered that the real place where God did his work, me and Jesus alone in our prayer closet, he didn't dispense with that. He didn't dispense with personal devotion, did he?
Not at all. He saw it as being a good thing to do. I think most pastors would see that as a good thing for their people to be doing, praying and reading God's word at home. Where it becomes bad is when it takes a substitutional sort of manner. When that becomes what true Christians do, and church on Sunday being, showing up to some building on Sunday morning and not being important at all. Bo Geertz, you know, he sees that really the center of the Christian life is that communal life, the assembly of the saints. He talks in To Live with Christ. He brings out the custom of Jesus. You know, he's really good at doing this. He talks about, you know, it was custom for him to go to the synagogue on Sunday. It was custom for his parents to do the pilgrimages. He says, you know, there's good and bad customs in life. You know, a bad custom would be not going to church on Sunday morning. and that was really, you know, in the thumb of, you know, thumbing his nose at those who would say that, you know, the church was just custom and tradition and there couldn't be any value to it. Rather, it's filling those customs and traditions with meaning.
We're talking with Pastor Bror Eriksen. He's pastor of First Lutheran Church in Tooele, Utah, translator of a new devotional book, translated the works of Bo Geertz. The book is called To Live with Christ. We're talking about a daily study of God's Word, Christian devotion. It's Tuesday afternoon, December the 2nd. You can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Email your questions or comments to us as well right here in the studio. TalkBack@IssuesETC.org. TalkBack@IssuesETC.org. When we come back from this break, 10 more minutes with Pastor Eriksen. Then in the second hour of the program, we'll spend some time talking with Mark Strickertz, founder of New Catholic Politics. He's author of a book, Why the Democrats Are Blue, How Secular Liberals Hijacked the People's Party. Is abortion just an issue among others? It appears that for many voters, religious voters, Roman Catholic voters too, for whom Mark Strickertz will have a special place in his heart, it just became one issue among many in the last election cycle. Should it be? We'll answer that question, and then we'll have audio open lines. An evangelical, Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals, gave an interview. We've got some interesting responses from him in that interview to share with you during audio open lines about the direction of American evangelicalism. Stay tuned.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Pastor Philip Hauser, Amanda Markle, Andrea Wolf, Russ Ozier, Joshua Pullman, Ernest Britt, Kevin Marshton, Andrew Duke, and Michael Lockwood. Thanks for your support.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely upon you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. That's Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Bror Eriksen is our guest. We're talking about a daily study of God's Word. Our kicking off point here is a great new devotional book translated from Swedish. Bo Gjerts originally wrote it. Great Swedish theologian, bishop. Much to teach us today, the landscape in which he did much of his writing and pastoral work is not unlike the landscape in America today. Pietists and liberals and very little in between. Pastor Erickson, what did Bishop Gjerts believe were the greatest dangers of pietism in his day?
You know, I think with Bo Gjerts, I think it was the anti-sacramental nature of pietism that really saw, you know, people tearing themselves away from Christ. Rather than becoming strong in faith, it was really tearing them away from Christ and putting the focus not on what Christ has done for us and what he does for us, you know, which is also paramount. You know, it's not that Christ has just done this one time in the past for us, but he continues to do it for us every day, you know, through his word and most especially in the divine service with the Holy Communion. That was probably, you know, the biggest danger for him. That, the self-righteousness that comes out of it, the legalism, that really, you know, when pietism gets done, there's no room for Christ anymore in the lives of the people because they've been so burned by the pietists. The children growing up in a pietist home, you know, I've seen it in my life, people that I've known that have just grown up in a pietist home, and boy, they're just broken. You know, it's a miracle if there's any faith left in them. A lot of them just leave the faith and don't want to see anything to do with it ever again. You know, here in Utah, we have sort of a pietism on steroids with Mormonism, which is really anti-sacramental, and it's pietism on steroids. That's what it is. When those people wake up and realize that they can't go on anymore in that church, or they realize that it's been lying to them, they won't let anybody touch them with a 10-foot pole. And I think you see that even today throughout Europe where pietism has gone rampant. Even if the morality is somewhat still there, the church, they don't want to have anything to do with it anymore.
So it's this continuous emphasis, somehow in the name of Christ, on your efforts, your feeling, your sincerity, and your accomplishments that ultimately can rob people of genuine Christian faith and pietism.
Yes.
What about the liberalism of Gjerts' day that he was dealing with? What were the greatest dangers he saw there?
Just the emptiness of it. You know, I mean, it's going to church for no reason whatsoever. There's no truth to it. There's no warmth to it. There's no good news at all there. You know, at least with pietism, you have a chance of hearing the gospel on a Sunday morning because people take the word seriously. And with the rationalism, it just wasn't there. There wasn't anything to feed the people with. And so, you know, and I think to this day, many in Scandinavia and throughout Northern Europe kind of feel the same way, that pietism, in a way, protected the church from utter downfall. You know, the Orthodox that have come out of it, they still look at pietism as being, yeah, it was messed up, but it kept the faith anyway. You know, at least it kept believers. They don't see it so much as maybe the destructive force that some of us in North America would see it. They see it almost, it had its bad sides, but at least it had this benefit that it wasn't rationalism. You know, if it wasn't for pietism, there would have only been rationalism, and there wouldn't be any semblance of Christian faith whatsoever left.
This, why would it, among all the things that he wrote, you said that Gjerts wrote over 600 titles, why would he spend the time writing a day-by-day meditation upon the Word of God that is closely tied to the calendar of the church here? Why would he do this?
Because he loved his people. And that's, you know, Bo Geertz, he was a pastor. As great as a theologian as he was a pastor, and he always just needed to proclaim God's word and to build people up with it. And so, you know, I think it was just his profound pastoral love for the people that said, and for the church too, you know, to reacquaint the people with the church. And what better way of doing that than with the church year? I mean, that's what it's there for. It gives us a rhythm of life and so on. And in order to do that, you know, it's not just that it coincides with the church year. You read the thing and you come out with, it's almost Pieper's Dogmatics, but in a very warm, devotional manner over the course of a year, and you start to understand why it is Christ had to, you know, be fully God and fully man, and what that means for us today. You understand the differences in the ways of thinking about baptism, the Lord, you know, the importance of the Lord's Supper. You know, all of those things bring on a different dimension. It's almost a dogmatics work that uses the church year to facilitate it. You know, so it was both his love for the church, you know, and he had a profound love for the church that and the people of the church, and he wanted to blend the two together as much as possible. He saw, you know, many of the pietists and so on really didn't see much value for the church. And I think that was really, you know, out of his love for them, he wanted to show them what a treasure there was in the church. And that's why he did that.
One thing it definitely is, Pastor Erickson, it isn't this kind of insipid, sappy, sentimental devotionals that you get at the average Christian bookstore, where it's really just meditations on my own thoughts and feelings, and maybe God might be mentioned or given honorable mention. Very little emphasis on sin and grace, very little emphasis on the external word of God, but most of it is, oh, just kind of thoughts for the day, you know. But that's not what this is. This is, as you mentioned, theologically dense, but it is very centered on the proclamation of law and gospel.
Exactly. You know, in my opinion, the best devotional work ever penned by anybody. You know, to cover the whole year like that, and just to kind of let you know what's going on, to introduce you to the Christian faith. You know, he says he started out bare, and that's why he wanted to do it. He wanted to bring people along to get them to understand what it was that made him tick in his life, and that was Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection on the cross.
Pastor Brewer Erickson is pastor of First Lutheran Church in Tooele, Utah. He's translator of a new devotional book titled To Live with Christ, originally penned by Bo Geertz. You can purchase this new devotional book by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you can find and read an excerpt of To Live with Christ at www.cph.org, www.cph.org. The book is called To Live with Christ. Pastor Erickson, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
If you can do your daily devotions as a Christian without opening your Bible, you're not really doing devotion. I don't know what you're doing, self-contemplation. Even if you open your Bible and then you go through a passage of Scripture and you sit there at your kitchen table with your hot coffee saying, well, what does this mean to me? That, again, is missing the mark, because meditation upon God's Word isn't about what it means to you. It's about what it means. What it means even apart from you. What it would mean even if you weren't there sitting with your hot cup of coffee. Because Christian devotion doesn't center upon me and what's going on inside of me, but upon something outside of me. Think about it this way. When you open the pages of Scripture, you are being taken, like through a doorway, outside yourself, not into your life, but into the life of your Savior, Jesus Christ. You are being led by the hand by God's Holy Spirit through these words of Scripture, to contemplate something outside of you, something not just greater than you, but something more needful than anything going on in your own life. And it bears directly upon your life, upon your own sin and guilt before God, upon your life with your neighbor. But the answer isn't found in you. It never will be. It will always be found outside you in the life that Jesus lived for you and laid down for you at the cross. And that's not found inside your heart. It's found in the pages of Scripture. Jesus says, you search these Scriptures, and how many Christians sit there at the kitchen table searching the Scriptures? They should take Jesus' advice. These are the Scriptures that testify of me. Not of you, but of Him, Jesus Christ, your crucified and risen Savior. When we come back from this break, hour two of Issues, Etc., Mark Strickertz will join us to talk about abortion as an election issue, or should it still be the election issue? And then some audio open lines. Richard Cizik of the National Association of Evangelicals has some interesting things to say about the future of the evangelical movement. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.